Welcome to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I'm joined by my co-host, Kelly Bell, and we are talking to Mary from the Willow Wind Carriage Service Company. Hey, Mary.
Hi, how are you today? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you have such a neat job. Basically, bringing romance to people with your carriages and horses.
Absolutely. We do that and much more.
So I think when I was like my senior year, my date got us a carriage in downtown Columbus to go from like Nationwide to the convention center, which was probably two blocks, but it felt so cool.
Yes, and sometimes we find when we're doing events, it is not the length of time that people are in the carriage, but the experience itself that matters more.
So what got you into using horses with carriages?
I had started a business ages ago while I was working as a nurse, but I was doing riding lessons, training, breeding saddlebreds, and we were showing. And I would frequently have people call and say, do you have a carriage I could rent for my wedding? So I didn't at that point. When my husband and I got involved, we decided that this was an avenue that we wanted to explore. We got our first carriage in September of 2000. It was a vis-a-vis sleigh on wheels. And we did 12 events that first December with it. And things just kind of grew from there.
Now, when you say vis-a-vis, I want to try to give our listeners an idea of what that looks like. I were to describe it to the layman, I would say it might look like something the royal family in England would be using in some kind of a parade or a wedding. Would that be a good description?
Actually, the vis-a-vis style carriage is what Princess Diana and the other princesses have ridden in when they've had their weddings. It's a carriage that basically means face-to-face. So the two seats in the back and the passenger compartment face each other, and then the driver is up in a seat higher above.
And your carriage is white on the exterior, and it looks like it has some sort of burgundy velvet lining for the seats or something like that?
Yes, that is one of them. And then we have a vis-a-vis that is dark metallic green with tan seats. So if brides don't want to use the traditional white, they want something more, a darker background to make their dress really pop for the pictures, then they can use that one. We also have a vis-a-vis that is cranberry colored on the exterior, and it's gold seats inside. And that carriage has a little bit different undercarriage under it. It has steel spoked wheels that we can take off of the carriage and put sleigh runners on it. So when we have enough snow, we can actually turn that one into a sleigh.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Now I got to continue with this, Michelle. I'll let you take over, but she also has something called the Noble Cinderella carriage, and it looks like something right out of the movie. This beautiful apple shaped cage frame with, it looks like it's surrounded in glass, and I mean it's right out of a fairy tale. This is absolutely stunning. People can rent this?
Absolutely. And we call it the Noble Cinderella because a friend of ours who is a fabricator had wanted to make a Cinderella carriage. And this is a little bit of a Cinderella story. His daughter was getting married, and he and I collaborated on some different ideas on designs. He built the carriage from scratch, fabricated everything pretty much on it, and I pulled it the first time to take his daughter from her wedding to her reception. And then we ended up purchasing the carriage from him and have gone forward to do many weddings and other events with it since.
Aww. Nice. Well, let's talk about this because, you know, what type of a horse are you finding are good for carriage rides?
We now are using Percheron draft horses. I prefer the Percherons. I think they have a little bit better personality. They seem to be more suited to the on-the-street work, have a little more endurance. But you have to have a horse that's calm and quiet because you never know what you're going to encounter while you're out. Sometimes people think that carriage drivers are not very good whips because we're just driving around behind a horse at a walk on the street. But I would venture to guess that some people who do CDEs would not be able to negotiate the obstacles you encounter in a city. So it does take quite a bit of work with the horse and with the drivers to get them accustomed to doing that.
And so when you're training a horse to do weddings and events, what are some of the things you really have to work on with their personalities to be able to do that?
Number one is hoe stand. They have to stand quietly for quite a while sometimes when we're doing events. And anyone who knows horses knows it's not their nature to stand still for a long period of time. So we have to work with them with that. And then we also have to get them used to noises. When we're doing weddings, it's frequently found that people driving by honk their horns as they go by the carriage. Mm-hmm. So we have to get them accustomed to that as well, so that we don't have an issue with them taking off with the bride and groom. But that would never be a good thing.
No.
But I work with the horses quite a bit with the noises, and we drive them quite a bit at home with a two-wheeled cart out on our streets here into traffic before we actually take them out to do an event.
Yeah, can I just say to everyone listening, if you ever see a horse go by and you're in a car, please don't honk. I have personal experience where that happened to me, and I ended up hospitalized and almost lost a leg. So don't honk at the horses, ever.
Yes, that is never a good thing.
No, it is never a good thing.
Well, let's talk about some of the other events you do. You know, from weddings, you also do, I saw on your website, Indian weddings.
Yes, we do. The Hindu culture, it is customary for quite a few of the regions in India to use a horse for the groom to arrive. And it's the groom who rides. The bride's not usually seen until after the ceremony. But the groom comes in with his family, and we have this big ceremony to start that they sing and dance around the horse. The groom is up top, and we lead them through the parking lot, usually of the hotel, and then to the door to start the ceremony.
Nice. And then I thought it was really interesting, the 15th birthday celebrations that you do. Is it quincenas?
Oh, the quinceañeras. Yes. We do quite a few of those. We had they like the noble Cinderella for that. The quinceañeras with the Latina young ladies, that is almost as big as a wedding. I mean, they have a huge reception, a full mass, and then they do special things for them, like the carriage or a limousine to have them arrive with their friends.
You also did.
And that's always a lot of fun.
You did some holiday carriage rides out at Easton this year, didn't you?
Yes, we did. This year completed our 18th year doing carriage rides at Easton.
And that's a fairly inexpensive way for people to have an opportunity to work with you without having to rent your entire setup for a whole day, right?
Correct. Easton actually has us under contract. And because of that, we are able to charge $10 a person and then 15 and under ride free with a paying adult when we are at Easton. And this year, because of everything happening with COVID and so many people looking for things to do, they actually asked us to come back. We've been doing rides on Saturdays and Sundays since the holidays, and we'll be doing rides through Valentine's Day, weather permitting. Looks like this weekend might not work because of it being so cold, but it's a pretty popular thing there at Easton.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the Valentine's rides are always nice.
Yeah. So is there a certain age of a horse that's more pliable to train to stand still, if you will? Because I'm, in my mind, like those young horses that like to bounce around and jump around and skip and run and play might not be the best.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that so many people use draft horses for the carriage business. Not only is it not hard work for them at all, because if you... You know, I've seen different statistics, but a lot of the statistics will say that a horse can pull three times their weight for most of the day on a level surface if they're not pulling uphill and you know, it's not a difficult load. And so the draft horses, being as large as they are, it's not hard work for them, but they also have that personality that nothing really bothers them too much when you get the right horse. Now, not all of them are that way. Every horse is an individual of any breed. I started my carriage business with a horse that had been my three gated performance horse, my American Saddlebred. He was one of my first horses that I used for the carriage business. And he was fantastic. He went anywhere I asked him to go. But the draft horses tend to be a lot more agreeable about standing. And then we end up buying a lot of our horses through Amish farmers who, if they are taking good care of their horses, like most of them do, they will usually sell their horses when they're about 7 or 8 years old, because to them, they're getting a little too old for the field, but they're just starting out and having a good life with us. So that's usually a good age to put a horse on the street, and they're already trained to stand because of the farm equipment, et cetera.
Gotcha. Nice. How many horses do you guys have?
Right now we have 7. We have 5 grays and 2 blacks right now.
She has gray horses. I love gray horses.
I do too. I just wish they would stay dappled like they are when they're about 2 or 3 and not turn white.
So how many carriages are in the fleet, and where do you keep your horses and equipment? Are you in Columbus?
My horses are in my backyard. Fortunately, I have a 21-acre farm, so they're right outside down the driveway from me. And the equipment we keep, we have a rented garage that we keep most of them in so that they stay clean, or they're in the trailers.
What part of town are you located in?
We're in Springfield on the southeast side, or southeast side of Springfield, not too far off the interstate. So it makes it really easy for us when we're going to do events.
Okay.
Well, let's take a break here. And when we come back, we want to talk to you about some stories of taking these romantic rides for people.
Sounds good.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available, or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. We are here with the owner of the Willowwind Carriage Service Company. And Mary, gosh, what a great job I think you have getting to be with all these horses. And then the horses and you being able to make really special life moments for people, from weddings to funerals. You know, you're there on some of the highs and the lows, but big life moments for people. And what do you look for in a horse when you're trying to get these horses to do this?
Well, because we're out in the public, and one of the big bonuses of my job is that I get to share my horses with people who've never seen a horse. So I want one that is very agreeable with being petted and loved and touched. And all of my horses, I have a bigger problem when I'm cleaning their stalls, keeping them out of my face, than any other thing. Because they want me to, they need to be kissed while I'm in there. And they want that from the people that they see on the street too.
With COVID, was it hard for them?
Yes, it was very difficult. They did not understand why people were not coming and petting them when they were standing close and looking at them, or taking a picture that they were away and didn't touch them. I had to watch them sometimes because they were reaching out to touch people when they didn't touch them.
Oh, poor little things.
No, I love pets.
Yes, they were not happy.
I can see how that would confuse them.
Well, let's talk about some of your other stories of people that you have met or events that you have done that really left a mark on you.
Okay. One of them that comes to mind was a funeral that we did for a young man that was active duty military, and it was in Blanchester. And the funeral home was about a quarter mile from the cemetery, and they closed the state route for us to process from the funeral home to the cemetery. And everyone along the road stopped their cars, got out. People came out of their house with their kids with their little flags in their hands. Semi-drivers got out of their trucks and stood on the decks to salute the gentleman as we took him, all the while the honor guard was behind and the bagpipes were playing, following us down to the cemetery. That was a very moving and heart-wrenching funeral that we did. But it was also a great honor for me to be able to do that service for that young man. And then we have, you know, the other end of the spectrum where we have do probably 15 or 20 engagements a year, and then doing all of the weddings that we do.
You get real perspective on life because you experience the most poignant moments of the best and the worst. And that's going to really sink in with you at night when you're settling on the end of your day and reflecting.
Yes, it does. It really has influenced my life in a positive way, knowing that I have had an impact. And the thing with the funerals, I know a lot of people think, well, funeral is just terrible, but it's not. And having the horses there changes the whole atmosphere for people when they come up and see the horses, and just that honoring the person that they lost makes a difference. I see smiles on faces when they come to see the horses, and that's what makes it worthwhile.
Well, Mary, thanks so much for joining us and letting us know about your wonderful services that you provide. Tell everybody again what the website is.
It's willowwindcarriagelimo.com. Our phone number is on there, and our email address is also on there. You can send a email directly through our little response.
Willow Wind. Love it.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsin' Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel. I'm here with my co-host, Kelly Bell, and we are here with the voice of the Little Brown Jug. And not only that, he is the voice of the Ohio Harness Horsemen Association, Roger Houston. Hey, Roger.
Pleasure to be with you, gang.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you, Roger. My goodness, you know, even though this is wintertime, there is always something exciting happening in the world of harness racing, and you are just the guy to get us caught up. This is award season, right? There's been a lot going on with some accolades in the business. Can you fill us in?
Well, we had our awards this year instead of a live banquet. It was a virtual reality taped award show, and really don't have time to go to all of them. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that a number of the horses this year that got awards, individual categories and horse of the year, those horses could have competed nationally. I don't think there's any question about it. And it shows the growth of harness racing in the state of Ohio, coming right back where it was years ago. Action Uncle, the horse of the year, could have competed, was going to compete on the Grand Circuit in the Breeders' Crown, but came up with a small broken bone off the coffin bone, and his season was over. Otherwise, he had been in the Breeders' Crown. He got Ocean Rock out of the Noble Stable, three-year-old Colt Pacer. There's no question about it. He could compete on the national level. And Charlie May, the two-year-old pacing colt of the year, he also could have competed on the national level. And I think you'll see Charlie May taking on the best three-year-old pacers in all of harness racing this year. It speaks volumes for racing in Ohio. It just shows you the growth that we've had in the last couple of years.
That's absolutely true. The breeding programs we have in Ohio for these standard bred horses are exemplary, and they're getting better all the time. They really are.
They sure are. And, we led the country in mares bred last year, and we'll probably do so again this year. And looking forward to those two-year-olds coming up in June, and the three-year-olds, we'll probably see them get into the races in March or April. So, a lot to look forward to this year.
Hey, Roger, I wanted to ask you about the Miami Valley Survivor Series.
Hey, that's an interesting thing. They have a couple of legs, and then they go for $20,000 in the final. And they just started this week, and they had, I think it was 8 divisions of one of the 5,000 claiming series, 3 divisions in the other, and a certain number of qualify for the next leg and gets down to a champion in the race for $20,000. But claiming, if people aren't aware of what that is, somebody can claim a horse for the value that the horse is in that race. So you basically got all horses valued at a $5,000 price tag. The first week, there were a total of 14 horses claimed out of that first leg and will race for new owners if they qualified for the continuation of the series. On the one series, the fastest mile was turned in by the Budo Hanover, 155-2. That's out of the Brady Gallier stable. And in the other series that just started, it was won by a horse by the name of Princess Oshie. Trace Tietrich for Robert Phillips won that division in 57-4 for the Phillies and Mares. So it's an interesting series and a lot of action going on at Miami Valley.
Before we leave, let's talk about January and what that was for Ohio drivers.
The top 10 each month was almost totally dominated by Ohio drivers. The top 10 nationally as far as wins. For drivers, Aaron Merriman, Trace Tietrich, Tony Hall, Kurt Sugg, Chris Page, and Brett Miller, 6 of the 10. As far as the money earned, 5 of the 10 were from the Buckeye State. Trace Tietrich, Dan, wow. Chris Page, Aaron Merriman, Brett Miller, in a range of $389,000 in purses for Brett Miller to Trace Tietrich, the leader nationally. $496,000 in purses. And the same held true for trainers, not as many trainers involved in the top 10, but they were there nonetheless in their category. As far as the trainer, and he based in Pennsylvania, but he races considerably here in the Buckeye State. Ron Burke earning $619,000. Tyler George, Bill Rhodes, and Christy Noble made the top 10. And on the win category, Burke led the nation with 58 wins, followed by Bill Rhodes, Tyler George, Sam Zalazzi, and Jessica Lugner. So top 10 dominated by Buckeye Enters this year.
Go Bucks! Woohoo!
The superstars of harness racing.
Be there!
Well, Roger, thanks so much for joining us this week and filling us in on everything harness racing.
Pleasure, and look forward to a future broadcast.
And that concludes this episode of Horsing Around. We'll see you next week.